Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. Take a moment right now and ask yourself, how am I feeling? Stressed? Anxious? Maybe you're feeling a little energized because you're about to start on a new project at work. Me, I'm trying to be calm and focused, or at least that's what I'm trying to feel, because in my case, I'm sitting in a studio, I have an enormous blue mic in front of me, I have my script on my computer, and I'm trying to get myself in the right frame of mind to interview Alexander Kaye. He's an organizational psychologist and is on the faculty of Georgetown University's Institute for Transformational Leadership. He's also the co-author of a Harvard Business Review article called How Your State of Mind Affects Your Work Performance. And Alexander, maybe it seems a bit obvious, but I would presume that being in a better state mentally, you're going to do a better job. But what has your research shown?
So the research that we've done has shown, from the 740 leaders who actually responded to our research, leaders believe that what they call their state of mind can have a definite effect on their effectiveness and on their performance and on the way they manage their relationships. And that state of mind is actually fairly essential in the world of leadership.
That seems obvious, though. And what I'm wondering is, what did your actual research find in terms of what is the best state of mind to be in to be productive at work, to feel satisfied at work?
Well, so let's talk about that. First of all, maybe to define state of mind so we understand what we're referring to here. State of mind, the way we've defined it, is the experience we have moment to moment based upon our thinking and our feelings. So just think of it as what your basic experience is in that moment. And we also differentiate between what we call a higher state of mind and a lower state of mind. So a higher state of mind might be something like satisfied, calm, content, happy, energized, joyful. And a lower state of mind might be something like tired, stressed, anxious, frustrated, disappointed, etc. Leaders, 94% of the leaders surveyed report that the top three states of mind for effectiveness, performance, and relationships are calm, happy, and energized.
But not anxiety or not being a little stressed, because, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest, I'm a bit of a stressed person sometimes, but I feel that it actually helps get me across the finish line, that having deadlines and knowing there's something coming up, you know, sometimes can give that extra push to really get projects done. That's not a good frame of mind to be in.
Well, so that's where the data gets actually interesting, because anywhere from 22 to about 40% of the leaders self-report feeling stressed, anxious, frustrated, or tired often or regularly. But those same leaders would say that those particular states of mind can be helpful in the short term. So you have a project, you have an assignment, something comes up, a deadline. To be frustrated, anxious, stressed can help. Long-term, not beneficial. Physically, potentially damaging. And what they say, which was particularly interesting, is that it has a negative impact on relationships. So you might think of it as, okay, I'm anxious, stressed, and frustrated. I'm running around the office in that state of mind. It's helping me, but it might be negatively impacting the people who I lead or the people who I work with.
You said calm and happy lead people to being more productive, being more effective at work. But I don't know if I necessarily equate someone who's totally calm and relaxed with actually being really aggressive and achieving things in the office, making change. Maybe I'm misinterpreting that word.
Right. So remember, there's the word called energized. And I think this is where we had an aha. Calm, we believe, refers to a calm state of mind or a calm mental state. So you can imagine, Charlie, that you can actually have your mind flowing with clear thoughts in a calm mental state, yet you still have energy, you're still under pressure, you're still motivated, and you're still drive. So calm does not equate with lethargy. Actually, it's maybe that you're quiet-minded and not busy-minded.
So how do you shift from being stressed and anxious to being calm and energized? Like, how do you make that transition between the two, especially if you're really used to being a stressed-out individual like a few people that I know?
Well, that's also interesting, because so our data said that, you know, about 97% of leaders are aware of their states of mind, and even up to 90% are aware of their specific states of mind, but only 66, know how to shift it.
So then how do you make that shift?
We found four basic buckets or four basic categories of practices that people and leaders use. Okay, so let me go through those, if you will.
Please.
The first one has actually to do with biology, which is leaders report that when they eat well, when they're rested, and when they work out or do physical fitness, that their natural state of mind is more buoyant, more healthy, and they're able to take on more stress. So you can imagine, Charlie, days when you've been eating well, you're well rested, and you've been working out. We do feel better. We can confront more problems with less reactivity. So there is something about those three that is sort of a baseline essential. Now, absent or with those, then we walk into what do you do in the moment when things happen. One of the things that we know and is perhaps of the most importance is this idea of what we do with our physiology. So breathing, taking breaks, and taking pauses. You know, during the day, we tend to go really quickly and to rev up and to go on consistent quick paces. The ability to stop, the ability to take a pause or to take a break or to engage in breathing are actually ways that we can immediately shift into a quieter and clearer state of mind.
So let me say that back to you. First is taking care of yourself, eating well, exercising. Another is when you're at the office, deep breathing when you're in stressed moments, taking breaks. What are other things you can do to get yourself in a better frame of mind?
So the next one has to do with what do you do with your thinking and feelings that are running you in that moment? Because if state of mind is a product of your thinking and feelings, then something's happening there. So one of the things that leaders practice is the idea of just acknowledging the emotion you have, calling it out, saying, I am stressed, I am angry. Calling out an emotion has the effect of reducing its intensity. Another thing you can do is to refocus your attention to a different project, a different idea, or a different set of data. Another one is to reframe the situation. You might be saying, I can't do this, I'll never get it done, it's never going to get done, to I can take one step at a time, you know, I can take this, you know, in parts, or I can at least make a small contribution. So the reframe, the refocus, and the acknowledging of the emotion.
On the subject of breathing, I'm trying to imagine myself in a meeting and I'm super frustrated either with someone who reports to me or I'm talking to my boss and I suddenly stop talking and I just start taking deep yoga breaths.
Right. So deep yoga breaths are going to be a little visible, but you don't have to go quite that much. There's something really interesting about breathing that has been known for a very long time, but few people really do know, is that breathing actually has an impact on our heart rate. When you breathe in, your heart rate goes up, and when you breathe out, your heart rate goes down. What's interesting is if you keep breathing in and out, your heart rate is going to go up and down and up and down. That induces a state of mind called coherence. Coherence, this idea of a heart rate up and down, almost like a cat purring, is actually a great place for the body to become quieter and calmer. So breathing, which has always been, you know, suggested to people who are being aggressed or under panic, breathing induces a state whereby the heart starts to get into this rhythm, and that rhythm actually communicates to the body a certain level of calmness and quietness that links us to a quieter state of mind.
Do you think being in a quiet state of mind actually affects the people around us?
So the answer to that for me is definitely yes. So here's the thing. You know, leadership is a public act. There's plenty of research that corroborates the fact that we listen to leaders and emulate leaders and look at leaders and follow leaders in a different way than others. When a leader walks into a room frustrated, worried, anxious, and fearful, the people in that room are going to follow suit. It's contagious. Our state of mind is contagious.
You make it sound like we're dogs, that we can sort of sense anxiety.
We sense each other. We really do. You know, I say this and I get questioned a lot, but the human body actually emits a number of different fields, electric fields and electromagnetic fields, and scientists know this. In those fields, we impact each other. And so when somebody is in a high stressed state of mind and they approach you, you're actually going to get a feeling from that. And you might actually find yourself less attracted to it, more aversive to it, and pulling away. Think of that same leader walking into the meeting, calm, focused, clear, under pressure, with a challenge, but saying, okay, Let's everybody stay cool and calm. Let's work through this. You might actually find that people in the room are responding with less fear, responding with less anxiety. They're listening better. They're less reactive. And the leaders I've worked with report that under those states of mind, they get better results, the decisions get made, the meetings are quicker, and people tend to collaborate more and be less defensive and reactive.
I mean, I have to say that I agree with what you're saying in the sense of feeling if your boss is stressed out or if your boss is feeling in a really good place. But this idea that there are electromagnetic fields around us, it feels a little touchy-feely. I'm just trying to like square the two that I understand what you're saying, but I don't really know why I understand what you're saying because I'm not sure I accept it. So how does that work? How do we know the moods of our coworkers?
So how do we know the moods of our coworkers? Let's talk about the various ways we hear the moods. So the first way we hear the mood is through what I'm going to call visual cues. There's body position, there's a facial expression, there's a slumping, there's an anger, there's tension in the face. Those visual clues right away tell us where the person is at, and people react differently to those visual clues. When I see my boss with that frown, or I see the boss with anger, or you know, right away I start to worry, or maybe I get concerned. The second way we read people is through what they say and how they say it. It's the words they use, the statements they make, and the tone of voice. If the words are negative, if the tone is high, I'm going to react to that too. The third actually is energy. You know, the heart, when it beats, it emits outside of our body, believe it or not, an electromagnetic field. It's a field that does come out of the body and extends to 4 to 5 feet outside the body. And we actually are impacted by that field. If your heart is racing and if your heart is irregular and it's racing, you're actually going to be impacted by that field. If your heart is what I was saying earlier in that coherent space, you're going to be impacted by that field as well. I know it's hard for people who don't understand these mechanics to buy it, but I can tell you it's true.
So can you fake it? In other words, Alexander, you have a bad morning and you go into a meeting and you're not able to completely get over what you're feeling, can you cover up your emotions and at least try and soldier through a meeting or interacting with colleagues so that they don't feel your anxiety?
Charlie, I think it depends on who is trying to do that. I think there are some individuals who I've worked with and many who I've heard of who can really just put on a mask and get through the day and kind of keep it all in, if you will. I tend to suggest to people to really try to not fake it. Most people can read it and see that people are faking it. It takes a pretty good actor to get away with it. But I also just wonder, you know, if we can actually shift states of mind, why would we try to fake it? Why not really notice state of mind that we're in, be accountable for it, and say to ourselves or to the people we're with, you know what, I'm in a bad state of mind today.
So is there a benefit at all, though, in being a bit anxious at work, a bit frustrated?
Yeah. I mean, let's not be Pollyannish here. We are all going to experience higher and lower states of mind all the time. The thing about state of mind, Charlie, is it fluctuates. It's never static. I mean, you could probably say in your life you've probably gone from a very high state of mind to a very low state of mind in the span of an hour. So we're all going to go up and down. We're all going to have these experiences. We're all going to feel frustration, disappointment, anxiety. The key is this. Know that you're there. Be aware that you're having that state of mind. Understand the impact it has and what you can do with it. And then act accordingly.
So it sounds like you're saying if you are in a good state of mind, that can actually be contagious for your coworkers as well too.
Absolutely. People who have done this kind of work and start to really manage their states of mind and shifted them more regularly, have noticed some pretty interesting effects. More collaboration, better relationships, more creativity, less resistance. So yeah, it definitely does affect us. And I would say it also has impact in our personal lives.
It sounds like what you're saying is that being in the right mood at work can be as important as the actual job that you do, the quality of the work that you do.
Yep, I think so. And I think that people who can operate in the higher states of mind can actually not just be more productive and higher performing, but they can actually have a more enjoyable work experience, not to mention reduce the amount of stress and wear and tear they're having on their body. But again, Charlie, you know, we want to be careful here. We're all going to have lower states. We're all going to feel the frustration, the disappointment, and the anger. I think it's this idea of how quickly can you shift out of that, or what can you do with it, not just get stuck in it.
And so what should be that higher state that we're shooting for? Define that for me again.
Leaders report, again, that this idea of calmness, happiness, and energy, calm, happy, energized, C-H-E, is for them the one they report as being of the highest performance. So think about it as one part positive, happy, one part energy, having a lot of physical energy, and one part calm or quiet in the mind, not too anxious, distracted, or busy.
Well, Alexander, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Alexander Kaye is an organizational psychologist and is on the faculty of Georgetown University's Institute for Transformational Leadership. So what about you? What is the best state of mind for you to be your most productive? And if your day starts off on the wrong foot, how do you get back on track so you aren't snapping at your coworkers or sending emails you wish you could take back? Tell me about it. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. I'd love to hear how you do it. And while you're at it, what conversations do you want to hear about how to survive the workplace? It's something I'm going to continue exploring in the weeks ahead with contributors to the Harvard Business Review. If you haven't checked them out, there's a lot more of these talks available online or by subscribing to the Money Talking podcast, available on iTunes. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.